direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. Couple more incidents in the air or close to it. And yes, I've got an update on both Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. as far as that goes. But if you didn't hear a couple days ago, a United Airlines plane catches fire at IAH, Bush Intercontinental now. And fortunately, they hadn't yet lifted off, but they were on rollout. All right, so they were gaining speed, and United Airlines Flight 1382 made an abrupt stop, which caused a lot of people some consternation, but even more so when they looked out the window, because the wing was on fire. Actually, it was an engine, but the flight attendant you hear on the recordings saying, please stay in your seats, and the passenger saying, no, it's on fire. Yeah, I can understand that. Everybody was safe. Passengers had to use the stairs and, in some cases, the emergency slide to get off the plane, but they all were willing to go. And the Houston Fire Department, of course, showed up, but there was not much that they had to do, fortunately. So no injuries whatsoever, which is somewhat interesting because sometimes going down those chutes is not without its own hazards. Nothing serious, but injuries nonetheless, but nothing in this. And as I say, the Houston Fire Department did not have to put out the fire. So this was an Airbus this time, an A319, and it was going to LaGuardia. There were 104 passengers and 5 crew members that were on board, and this was about 8:30 in the morning. They all left for New York at about 12:30, noon 30. And what led to the fire, that information hasn't been released as well. A lot of passengers had a lot to say. Ashlyn Sharp said she was trying to sleep during takeoff when she heard a loud noise and felt the plane shake. We weren't that high up, I don't think. Well, actually, they weren't off the ground, fortunately. It sounded like something flew into the engine or something scared everybody. That's when we all looked out the window and saw the engine and the wing on fire, and we could smell the smoke inside. So she said she was able to calm herself until other people started panicking and trying to leave on their own. And needless to say, just behind Philadelphia and D.C., people were nervous, to say the least. But yes, they were absolutely okay and on the ground, though most of them were in full anxiety mode, that's for sure. And so the crew eventually did evacuate the passengers, obviously, after realizing that people were not going to sit down. But that was their first instruction. Please take your seats. No. And so that was the deal. And they were on the tarmac for a couple hours, actually. Then they got a bunch of shuttles and all that. And they even had an ambulance to show up, but no problems, fortunately. But that's scary. That's, you know, I guess the best news there is that that they hadn't yet lifted off. Well, we have another Airbus story. This one from South Korea. Air Busan was engulfed in flames yesterday at Gimhae International Airport in the southern part of the country, and that occurred once again as the plane was preparing to depart for Hong Kong, according to fire officials. There were 169 passengers, 7 crew members on board. They were safely evacuated, though 3 of them sustained minor injuries. Like I say, coming down those chutes can do that. Firefighters were alerted to the blaze, which originated inside the aircraft, in this case, shortly before about 10:30 at night local time, and apparently was in the tail section. And there again, no word on what or why. Subsequent footage showed the charred holes along the length of the aircraft's fuselage roof, but nonetheless, this, by the way, you know, we talk about things coming right after the American Eagle and the Philadelphia incidents, but this in South Korea comes a month after the most deadly aviation disaster in South Korean history, when a Jeju jet plane from Bangkok crashed on the runway at Mayan International during an emergency landing. And in that case, only two of 181 passengers and crew survived the crash. Air Busan is a budget airline. It's a subsidiary of Asiana Airlines, which was purchased by Korean Air in December. And of course, Airbus has acknowledged that they made the plane, yes, and that they were in communication, and we're going to investigate that. So that's two Airbuses, different situations, nonetheless, and fortunately not yet in the air. Thank God for that. All right, so the latest in Philadelphia. We actually know who was on that plane now, and it's such a sad story, because it was an 11-year-old girl, Valentina Guzman Murillo, 11 years old, and her mother, Lizeth Murillo Osona. Both were going home to Mexico after Valentina had been at Shriners Hospital in Philadelphia for quite some time, and they had a celebration just before she left, and he was going home finally, and sadly the plane, as you know, plummeted within a minute of taking off from Northeast Philadelphia Airport. The team members are Dr. Raul Meza Arredondo, 41 years old, the captain, who was Alan Montoya Perales, 46, the co-pilot, Jose de Jesus Suarez, 43, and the paramedic was Rodrigo Lopez Padilla, 41. But again, that 11-year-old child spending months at Shriners, and then within a minute of liftoff, it was all over. The treatment that Valentina had was not easily treated in Mexico or available there, and she had recently successfully completed it. Yeah, I know. That's when you start to talk about fate, isn't it? And so, of course, that just shockingly a day after after the situation in D.C. Now, if you haven't heard, remains of all 67 victims, the three soldiers on the chopper, as well as the 64 crew and passengers on the American Eagle, have all been recovered. And so all will be headed home with dignity to their families. Very sad story there. But what's interesting about this are the comments from some people in authority who are saying, oh, no, it's perfectly fine to have the cross traffic with the choppers. Well, not always, obviously. So we'll see what becomes of that. Some defending it, others not. But what we know now is there is quite the discrepancy in the altitude of the chopper, which was supposed to be below 200 feet, but early indications are they were at 300 feet. Of course, there's a discrepancy between what air traffic controllers apparently saw and what the flight apparently saw. So that that will be studied for months to come, to say the least. But it looks like the American Eagle was at 325 feet. So at least on first blush, American Eagle was doing what it was intended to do, and the chopper maybe not so much. So they'll pour over that flight data from both aircraft. Oh, speaking of flight data, on the crash in Philadelphia, that plane did not have a data recorder, but it did have a flight recorder in the cockpit, and that has been found. Actually, it found right on Cottman Avenue in an 8-foot deep cavern made by the crash. Yeah, and it's still quite the area in terms of a lot of homes involved. I think something like 4 completely destroyed, but 11 receiving significant damage. 366 properties were impacted in some way, and so that's the deal. People not back to normal yet. And I just realized I wrote to a friend of mine who lives right by there a couple days ago saying all okay, and I hadn't heard back. So you know what I'm going to do when I get off the air tonight, and hopefully he is fine. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh, and we're kicking it off with Cindy in Chicago. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, yes, I have one observation to talk about after I talk. But did you hear the story on WGN about chicken egg truck being stolen? I don't know where that happened. I thought maybe it happened in Pennsylvania. It was $40,000 worth of chicken eggs.
Wow.
So, did you hear about that?
No, I have not heard about this yet. So
I mean, I can't speak to it. It's so weird. But then I have an observation. I live in the city of Chicago now, and the police never catch anyone in the act for all these storefront stores, the glass being broken and people breaking in. It happens between 2 and 5 in the morning, and no one ever is caught. No one is ever caught in the act. Did you ever notice that?
I don't have any comment about it whatsoever, tell you the truth.
Well, one time I had to take my cat all the way to the Banfield down in the middle of the night down Belmont Avenue, Belmont Avenue, and I didn't see one police car in the middle of the night.
Yeah, well, obviously the police do the best they can with the resources that they have, and they prioritize some things. And so sometimes when you're thinking nobody's there, that doesn't mean they're not a block away, and that doesn't mean they're not in a situation that maybe is more crime intensive than where you are at the moment. So I wouldn't anecdotally look at that and say, well, I'm not seeing any cars.
All right.
Don't worry. You're thinking again. You're busy.
Observation.
Yeah. All right. Good deal.
Look up the egg story. It's probably James from the South Side is going to talk about it.
Well, I will look for that. I did not hear that yet, but I will do my best to hear it and find out what's going on there. All right. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it. Yeah, well, I guess another reason why eggs are going to go up in price. What do you think? 888-876-5593. Don and Beloit, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I'm happy I got my own chickens to do my own eggs. Yeah.
You do?
Oh yeah. We've talked about that. That's okay. Yeah.
No, I don't recall. How many chickens do you have?
Seven, and they seem to like your music. So when I sometimes feed them, it's sometimes late at night, and they seem to like me playing music when I go through my area.
Okay.
Well, you know, on these cold nights up here in Wisconsin, you know, I'm always in, you know, studying Neanderthals, you know, before your show and so on. But it's especially because of Johnny, you know, it's funny. The Clovis people and some things that have been discovered.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know this, but Neanderthals have a gene that was helping them with their storing their fat. It's a very specific gene for fat storage.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same gene that woolly mammoths have. So these Neanderthals, they were tough, you know, in the cold climates, you know. It's just kind of, I just find that funny. Yeah.
Well, you know, I find it all very interesting. And of course, when it comes to this, we're backing into the story through remains that we find and all this. And, you know, we might be so far off, it's not funny. So it's interesting to see the observations we make, and who knows if they're accurate or not.
Yeah. I always like going into the 1920s, but did you care for like people like Blind Lemon Jefferson or
In terms of would I want to sit there and listen all day to that or to Bessie Smith recordings or whatever, the answer is no, I probably wouldn't, but I certainly revere their place in history and, you know, what they accomplished, what they went through, and the legacy that they left. Now, I don't, like I say, I don't want to have to hear it myself very often other than for historical purposes, but, you know, in fact, I don't really know anybody who sits there listening to, you know, 20s blues who says, oh, yeah, this is my favorite music. Again, historically very significant, but do you really want to listen to that?
Well, Bessie Smith's kind of interesting. I don't know, did you ever, and of course a lot of her stuff was redone by other, you know, all these people had their stuff redone by others, I suppose, by expiring copyrights.
You know, the thing about Bessie Smith, and it's interesting, years ago there was a play, I don't remember if it was Albee or who wrote it, but The Death of Miss Bessie Smith. And
My goodness, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and and there were those who thought that her death was attributable to a white hospital turning her away because she was black. And then there were stories that the individual who typed sickle cell, or whatever, that I guess it wasn't sickle cell, but did some of the blood typing, that he was involved. None of that's true. All right, it's not. The first person on the scene was a surgeon from Memphis. She was going from Memphis back to home in Mississippi, in Clarksdale. And it was her boyfriend who was driving, and he misjudged a truck. And it was terrible. And she was in the she was in the passenger seat, and most likely her right arm, or at least the elbow, was out the window. And that's what took the full brunt of the impact. Her her boyfriend escaped without any injury. So a doctor from Memphis showed up, and he gave detailed accounts of this. It's probably the most reliable eyewitness testimony. But the bottom line is that that injury alone did not cause her death. The real thing was she had extensive and severe crush injuries because it was consistent with the right side of her body being crushed with a side swipe, which is how that accident helped. And so he moved her to the side of the road, and they dressed her arm injury as best as possible, called an ambulance, and by the time the ambulance got there, she was in shock. The ambulance, they were saying, well, you know, let's take her by car, you know, before the ambulance. And so they were trying to move her, but by then the deal was that there were all sorts of issues with that. In fact, this was another accident in this. Here comes the ambulance, but it's not there yet. So the doctor and his buddy are clearing the back seat of their car when another car approached, and the oncoming car plowed at full speed into his car, and it just careened into the car that Bessie Smith was in, completely wrecking it. And so that ricocheted and all that, and it wound up with a lot of people in the dirt, but it did not hit the doctor or Bessie Smith or his friends. It was a young couple. They didn't sustain really any injuries. So finally, yes, here's the ambulance, and she's taken to G.T. Thomas, which is an African-American hospital in Clarksdale. Sadly, they had to amputate her right arm immediately, but she died that morning without regaining consciousness. And so it is not that a white-only hospital refused to admit her. Not true. And you see a lot of people. John Hammond actually gave that account in Downbeat magazine. And then, like I say, Edward Albee. It was a one-act play, and The Death of Miss Bessie Smith. And so you can read that. And so there's a lot of that, but it's not accurate. And her funeral was in Philadelphia.
Oh, I really enjoy his play. It's a favorite of a lot of colleges, of course, and I know my college played many plays by him.
Oh, I love my favorite one I play by him without a doubt is the zoo story.
Okay. I've heard you talk about his
just
stuff before.
Love the zoo story. I've been to the zoo. Yes, exactly. Read it.
Would you play Downhearted Blues by her, maybe, or whatever else you want to play, anything else, but a Downhearted Blues or something else that you like.
All right.
That's her classic, yeah.
All right, sure, not tonight, but I will.
All right, that sounds good. Well, Riley, it's nice chatting with you about early people in North America and Europe, yeah.
All right, thanks for calling.
All right. You're welcome. All right, bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. We've got Laura and Willowbrook in room for you, too. Jim in New Hampshire, and plenty of time here in the next half hour. A couple of requests we'll get in as well on WGN Radio.
Was the night softer than satin? Was the light from her eyes? She wore blue velvet, and as the night danced slowly by, warmer than May, her tender sighs. Love was high. All the love we held tightly, giving its rapturous glow.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Clovers. Yes, I was talking with Jerry in Minnesota the other night, and he had never heard that version, 1955, on Atlantic. Yeah, and the first one, of course, around 50, 51, was a Tony Bennett song and became a pop standard. But the Clovers did it in 55 in just a wonderful version, I thought. And then, of course, later for Rock and Rollers, there was Bobby Vinton. All right, enough said about that. All right, so before we get to Laura, and we've got Jim, and we've got Carl and James, which is nice, and we don't have a lot of time either. But I was looking a little more about this doctor's, looked it up, his report on Bessie Smith, and he said, well, we were going to take her in the car, which, of course, I told you about that, and by the time we were ready to get her in there, two ambulances arrived, one that his friend had called from the black hospital and the other from the white hospital that actually a passerby saw the accident and called on his own, having no idea who might have been involved. Well, clearly to say, the driver for the black hospital immediately took Bessie Smith. And what Dr. Smith had said, no relation, by the way, obviously, he said, the ambulance would not have gone to a white hospital. You can forget about that. Down in the deep South Cotton Belt, no ambulance driver or white driver would even thought of putting a colored person off at a hospital for white folks. Just never would happen. Which, of course, as I say, it didn't. It was because of that John Hammond article, the accident happened in 1937, back in Downbeat in 1937, that started that myth, which spiraled. And then, of course, Edward Albee wrote the play. So what is also interesting is that I mentioned that Bessie Smith was buried in Philadelphia. Well, her grave remained unmarked until 1970, when a tombstone paid for by Janis Joplin, along with Juanita Green, who was a child, had done housework for Smith. The two of them got together and actually paid to put out the stone. All right, so that's enough about Bessie. Now, let's see. Before we do Laura, Carl has a weather update. All right, so Carl in Riverside, what's going on with the weather?
Hey, how you doing, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
Okay, well, I was just outside. We got garbage pickup tomorrow morning, right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the Brookfield Zoo or not. But
oh, of course. Of course, I've been to the... In fact, the last time I was at the Brookfield Zoo, if you remember, 1992 was a very cool summer. It was almost overcast every day. There was only one day that was 100 degrees. That's the day I was at the Brookfield Zoo.
Well, you got a real good memory.
Oh, well, you don't forget those things. It was damn near... You know, I've suffered from heat prostration before. So the bottom line is, you don't forget that.
Well,
so yes, I remember the zoo.
Being outside a little, I went to go take out the garbage.
Yes.
Okay, the pickup is tomorrow morning. I guess I mentioned that already.
Yeah.
Hey, Raleigh, this is what happens when you get a little bit older. You tend to repeat yourself. But here's the thing. If you know you're repeating yourself, you're okay. If you're not aware of you're repeating yourself, then you may want to check into that.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that. Okay.
Anyway, I almost went flying because it is like an ice rink.
Oh.
Out there.
Oh, God.
It is. Woo-hoo.
Yeah.
I didn't break anything. That's the good part. But I went, the legs went up, and you kind of, you know, automatically, without thinking, snap, boom, you kind of brace yourself when you go down. Hopefully, you don't break your hands, though.
Oh, just the worst. And, you know, there's that sweet spot, and especially if you're driving, and you're driving along and everything's fine, and the next thing you know, you're driving on a skating rink because it had hit the sweet spot and it's sheet ice everywhere. Now, I mean, that is the worst feeling, and probably everyone in Chicago has felt it. I know I have.
I did not drive tonight.
No.
So I don't know what the main drags are, but I just said the heck with that.
No, sheet ice, there's absolutely nothing you can do other than stay indoors.
Is sheet ice like pea ice?
Well, what I mean is that the streets, you know, they're pretty much level, and it becomes like a sheet of ice across the entire road where you're just going to slide because there's no relief in any direction. It's just like being in the middle of an ice skating rink.
Raleigh, I just slipped a joke past you, but I don't think you
Yeah,
got
I ignored it.
Or did you?
I ignored it completely.
Oh,
it went by very quickly, and we just moved right on, and I was hoping you wouldn't bring it up again. But no, I didn't miss it. I just ignored it.
And you're probably better off for doing that.
Yes.
You know what? Somehow, in the back of my mind, I said, you know, she's not going to acknowledge it, but she got it.
Yeah, there you go.
Good.
All right. Well, stay safe. Stay indoors. Don't go out.
Yes, ma'am. I think 40 tomorrow, so hopefully, I guess it'll melt.
Well, if it truly is 40, it will ultimately melt. Now, if it's only 40 for 10 minutes, see, I don't know how cold the ground's been up till now, so, you know, it's hard to say. But if it's 40 for a prolonged period of time, and if it's sunny, yeah, it'll melt.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
I got my fingers crossed.
Yes,
my
me too.
Crossed, my eyes crossed and whatever.
All that stuff. Well,
hey,
call me tomorrow night and tell me.
Checking in with you.
Yes, absolutely. I'll be on the air for three hours tomorrow night. Call me and let me know how it goes.
You got it.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Oh, man, I just hate that, you know, when the ice is like that and there's just, man, nothing you can do. And it is. It's like one moment you've got traction and the next moment you don't. Oh, man. All right. So what do we have here? Lauren Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Good evening, good morning, whatever time it is by you.
Yes, absolutely.
While I was waiting, I came up with two other things that are really short. You know, I have short conversations about the ice. Just as I was pulling home, the ice was coming on, the rain was coming on my window and sticking to the windshield, and it wasn't wanting to get off. So I had to pull over just as I was getting home because, like, I couldn't see because the ice was crazy.
Oh.
So that's my ice story. But thank you for sharing. Was it Bessie Smith what the name you said?
Bessie Smith,
That was a very good story. Thank you for telling that.
Oh, yeah, very, very, very famous blues singer. And like I say, I always thought the story was true about her being refused because it was a John Hammond thing. But it turned out it wasn't for a few years, probably decades, that the doctor didn't pipe up and say, wait a minute, I was the doctor on the scene and let's get the facts straight.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
The main reason I called, though, excuse me, every time one of the major, well, there's no minor plane crash, but I'll call this anytime a major plane crash happens, like this Washington one with the helicopter and the plane, it always reminds me, boom, 9/11. And I had totally forgotten. Sometimes you're in the right place at the wrong time or right. You know what I mean? Is you sometimes like, oh boy, good thing that happened.
Well,
two famous people that I heard of. One of them, I know Sarah Ferguson, the Princess Fergie. She was supposed to be at the Twin Towers, and I heard something about maybe she pulled up late or something. I don't know, but maybe there's others too.
Oh, it's so common. I've worked with many people who, in their offices, had an airline ticket, you know, usually tacked to the wall or whatever, and you looked at it, and it's the guy who missed the flight for Charlotte, and that one went down, or the guy who missed the flight for New Orleans. Yeah, this is so common. And
really?
Oh, absolutely. And they're also the other way around, people who were not planning to take that flight, but at the last minute did, you know, that type of situation. So this is, you know, it's anecdotal, obviously. I doubt there's ever been any real, you know, research about it, but it is more common than you know. So certainly, and there were there was at least one person in Wichita who talked about how they were ticketed on that flight and didn't take it. So, yeah, happens all the time.
Well, I guess you just have to be happy for every day that you're walking and just go from there. Don't take anything for granted and just have a happy life.
Well, live in the present. You know, the past is not coming back and the future isn't here. So live in the present.
Yes.
So
that's
really all you got. But easier said than done when you're sitting on the tarmac and the engine's on fire. So I get that.
You're right. You're right. Well, thank you. You and John are great as always, and thanks for all your information.
Well, thanks for calling. Always good to hear from you. Thanks. Okay.
Have a good
night. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And we'll get to Jim. We've got Jim. We're going to talk about radio and music, of course. Ruth and Gurney and James on the South Side. And if you want to get in there, now's the time to dial 8888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio.
Bow, 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 bow.
Can't we be sweethearts? Why don't we fall in love right from the start? You're the girl I'm thinking of. Oh, can't you see? You're the only girl for me. Please be my sweetheart. Don't you know the way I feel? Please play the part and make my dreams all real.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That, of course, is the Cleftones. And Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear Can't We Be Sweethearts, 1956 on G. And they were actually just out of high school. Well, in 55, a year earlier, they were at Jamaica High, and they called themselves the Silvertones. And I think when they got together with George Goldner, who produced their stuff, he or they, whichever, renamed them the Cleftones, and the contract was signed in 55 with Herbie Cox, obviously, as lead singer, and some great stuff there all the way around. So that's for Sergeant Pappy, 1956 on G. All right, so 888-876-5593. Jim in New Hampshire, what's up tonight?
Oh, just enjoying the program as usual, and boy, oh boy, yeah, I don't like great rock and roll sax, I tell you. Oh yeah, and I was there is a site I ran across. Maybe you may know of it, maybe you may not. I don't know, but it's called Planet Oldies Radio. And basically what they, you know, they do oldies, but ever so
Let me ask you first, because planetoldiesradio.com is just a park domain. It's landing on a GoDaddy site.
Oh,
so is there a .net or a let me look. Nope, you can't find .net. Are you sure it's Planet Oldies Radio?
I think it's... I think it's Planet Oldies. It's Planet Oldies Radio. I ran into it on.
Okay, let's find it here. All right, it is on a lot of different aggregators like TuneIn, but I don't. You can do it that way, but I don't see a site for them like MyTuner Radio, things like that. But I'm not seeing their own site. So and right now they're playing Indian Reservation by the Raiders, so I will not be listening. That will be followed by Operator by Jim Croce. What, do you hate me? I mean, what's the deal here?
No, I promise you I don't.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder. But
I was there was a one of you know, I just was wondering about them.
Well, they're from New Zealand.
New Zealand, really?
Oh, I'm not. Jeez. Now, by the way, a lot of good things come from New Zealand. My automation system comes from New Zealand, and I love those people. So I'm not going to say anything bad about New Zealand, because the station playlist is the absolute best automation ever, and it's cheap. All right, but but that said, yes, according to this. Now, of course, who knows if the aggregators are meet it, but they say the best in New Zealand radio.
Yeah, I ran into it on MyTuner. I ran into them on MyTuner.
Wait a minute. Here's one that says the best South African radio station. So these are the aggregators that are telling you. So we have absolutely no idea where these people are. I love this one. Radio-Singapore.com. The best radio station from Singapore. Planet Oldies Radio. They're everywhere, as you can see.
Now
we got to try and find out where they are. All right. They've got a whole... I can discover radio stations by location. No, I do not. I do not want to know what is happening in the Emirates. All right. So for a lot of reasons. So let's see here. I couldn't live without your love by Petula Clark. That's actually not too bad after Indian Reservation. But
not really.
But who does them? Who does them?
I know. I ran across them on MyTuner.
That's what I mean. They're on everybody's, and all these different ones claim they're from there. Well, they're not. All right.
The interesting thing is, after you hear a song, you might hear a jingle, like an actual jingle from WMGM or something. You might actually hear a WNBC jingle that you hadn't thought about.
Well, there you go.
And I was a big fan of 66 when they were, when they had the Time Machine. And matter of fact, I was wondering, speaking of them, did Big J. Sorensen, did he pass away?
I remember. I hate to say yes and be wrong about this, but I thought that he had. But no. Good. I'm glad that I didn't say that, because apparently Big J. Sorensen has a Facebook page. Now, of course, this is Facebook. It doesn't mean he's alive. There's a lot of Facebook people who are continue to be dead. But he certainly was commenting as recent as 2 years ago. So near as I can tell, Big J is still with us. Doing all sorts of things, yes. So you can...
I always got a big kick out of him doing that.
Wait a minute. Here's another one that says he passed away. All right, let's find out. This is just as good as Oldies Planet Oldies being in New Zealand. Who the hell knows? All right, so let's see what we can find out.
Really? Man.
Yeah. Yeah, is he or isn't he? Passed away from a very rare neurological illness. He died on April 13th in hospice care. I have no idea if this is true. They're wanting me to sign into X. I can't sign into X. Just let me see this. Well, they're not going to let me see it if I don't sign into X. And of course, he and Joey Reynolds were good buddies, absolutely. So I got I will find out. Now I want to know.
You and I both, actually. Another thing, I heard a song today, I forget where it was, but it was probably on Planet Oldies Radio. They used to play the song, I remember Art used to play it on Coast to Coast, Nothing But a Heartache.
Oh, the Flirtations, by the Flirtations.
Yeah.
I remember when Art discovered that, he'd never heard it, and I had said to him, I said,
really?
He'd never heard the record, and I said, well, of course you've never heard it, it was on Derum. Name me a soul record that was ever big on Derum, all right? And the answer is none of the above. And so, he absolutely never heard that record and just fell in love with that record. So I
wondered how he found it.
You know how he found it. On one of those compilation CDs.
Probably.
I know that's how he found it. He had it on a compilation CD. So I sent him the 45.
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay.
I don't know if he had anything to play it, but anyway. but yeah, no, he had never heard that record and just fell in love with it, and then just
and,
you know had
yes,
to. All right.
Yeah, had
see.
To had to wait, play it every wait, time.
Okay.
And,
So now here is a Jay Sorensen in radio that did die, but this is not the same Jay Sorensen.
Not the same guy.
No, absolutely not. This guy's from the Pacific Northwest, and I'm looking at I'm looking at a picture. Make no mistake, this is not the one we know. All right, so so now I have to look. I'll find him. Hopefully alive.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. I agree. And one request, I don't know if you have it, but they used to play it on monitor back in the day. The Ramsey Lewis Trio, their version of Hang On, Sloopy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I was wondering if you could play that at some point.
I will add that to the list and be happy to play it. And you have ended tonight's show. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.
All righty.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. All right, so is he or isn't he? We'll find out about Jay Sorensen, and hopefully he's well and happy. Apologies to James, apologies to Ruth, and to everybody, and to Jim, and apologies to everybody else who is hanging in there. But tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, big 3 hours right here. So plan to call, and I'll be right here. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it again tomorrow on WGN Radio.